Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Ashley McKinless here with my two colleagues, Tim Reedy and Father James Martin. Before the break, we were talking about Jesuit refugee service, and now we're going to switch gears to talk about the new Superior General of the Society of Jesus. So, Jim, can you tell me a little bit about Father Arturo Sosa?
Sure. So, very briefly, I can't even start off. There's so much to say. The Jesuit General Congregation met, and it was a group of 212 delegates from all over the world that had been elected from their individual provinces or regions. And they met because Father Adolfo Nicolás, the former Superior General, was getting old, and he turned in his resignation. He's 80, I think. And so the constitutions of the Jesuits stipulate that there needs to be a general congregation. So they elected Arturo Sosa, who is a 68-year-old Venezuelan priest. He was a president. He's an academic, but also very interested in social justice. He was the president of a university in Venezuela. He has his doctorate in political science. And he also ran a social justice, social action kind of reflection center, of which there are many in Latin America. And is very was very connected to the Fe y Alegría schools, which are kind of schools for poor kids in Latin America. And up until recently, he was it's a very strange job. He was called the Roman delegate, which I always think sounds like something from Caesar's time, Mark Antony. He was the person in the Society of Jesus who was in charge of all the houses in Rome. So Civiltà Cattolica, which is our counterpart, our Italian counterpart, the magazine, the Pontifical Gregorian University, the Pontifical Oriental University, the Pontifical Biblical University, the Gesù, the Bellarmino. So he's in charge of all the Roman Jesuits, of whom there are quite a few. And so after he was elected, I thought, well, this kind of makes sense because he's well-known in Rome. He was well-known by Jesuit leaders. He's friends with the Pope. He's about the right age. And, you know, people thought he was great. He was elected within a couple hours after the elections started. Tim and I were up early on Friday waiting. But it's very exciting. It's very exciting.
Well, when you just ran through his resume there, it became very clear why he was a candidate. Yeah. And he's like, okay, he was the head of a university, which is obviously a big part of what Jesuits do. He's involved in this important social justice ministry, which is another part of important. And then he had this, like, really big job in Rome, which I didn't realize existed, but he's the boss of a lot of people who are in that room.
Yeah, and you're right, Tim. Afterwards, I thought, well, that's kind of obvious. You know, why wasn't he on anybody's list? He was obviously on many people's list in Rome. There's also someone in our house, a Jesuit, who was at one of these general congregations a few years ago, who said there's actually a pretty easy way of sorting out who's a possible candidate, which is basically see who can speak multiple languages.
Right.
So this fellow speaks, Father General, I should say, speaks, speaks Spanish, of course, French, Italian's very important, and English. I just heard him speaking English this morning, you know, heavily accented, but he speaks English. So that's really important if you're going to work in the Jesuit Curia in the headquarters.
Right, you got to know your Italian.
Yes, definitely.
And so for people who aren't as familiar with how the Jesuits work, what does the Superior General do, and what might we expect from this Superior General's approach?
Well, he's the head Jesuit, basically. Our order, we take vows of obedience, and so it sort of goes all the way up to him, and then his boss is the Pope. So like all religious orders, he reports, to use some corporate language, to the Pope. The most important things he would do would be appointing people like provincials and rectors of Jesuit communities. But he also sets the tone for the Society of Jesus. He can decide to start new ventures. You know, we were talking about Father Pedro Arrupe, who was Superior General from 1965 to 81, I think, who started JRS. So that's the kind of thing that a Superior General can do, start these kind of international movements. But, you know, it's mainly it's a governance role. And he also represents us to the Pope, so he will work very closely with the Pope. And fortunately, the Pope speaks Spanish too, so they'll get along fine.
Yeah, and we didn't mention that part of his resume. He's from Latin America. You got a Pope Jesuit from Latin America. Have they met yet? What is their relationship like?
They have met several times. They knew each other, I think, from previous general congregations. Okay. When Jorge Mario Bergoglio was at the general congregation. They, you know, they're both Latin American Jesuit provincials for a while. And someone told me a funny story, I think I can say this, that when he was named the Roman delegate and was brought to Rome, Pope Francis met him and said, I guess this is a colloquialism in Latin America, but he said, oh, last time I saw you, you were just a pony.
Like a young Jesuit.
Yeah, right, like, right.
Yeah.
So he seems like a great guy. I watched the press conference, which was, I think, yesterday. And, you know, very fluent and, you know, clearly in command. A friend of mine said, this is not telling tales out of school, very decisive. He is not afraid to make decisions, which is good.
So, like the Pope.
Like the Pope, right? Right? And, you know, we would expect that he would be in for at least, he's 68, at least 10 years, 10, 12 yes. years. So, you know, Father General Sosa is going to be around for a while. It's very exciting. It's exciting.
Now, so we've got him, as you said, most Jesuit generals have actually died in the role, but this
correct.
Is only his second one in history to retire?
That's right. So Father Peter Hans Kolvenbach, who preceded Father Nicholas, was the first one to retire. He was elderly, and a lot of people say that sort of laid the groundwork for the Pope to retire. There's a very funny story about Father Nicholas, who was from 1981 to 2008, so he was a general for a long time, and he wanted to retire, and he... But during the time that he wanted to retire, St. John Paul II was really ill. As everybody remembers, he had Parkinson's disease. And so he said, I can't go in. You know, I'm in pretty good health. I can't go into the Pope and say, I'm old. You know, please let me resign. And so he waited till Benedict was elected. And this is a true story. Benedict was elected. And within, I think, days of the election, one of the things that the general Jesuit general does is go in and offer his obedience to the Pope and says, I offer you this society. And he said, I'd like to resign. And Benedict said, fine. He said, can we wait a little bit? I don't want my first act as Pope to be announcing the resignation of the Jesuit Superior General. So he waited a year or two and then resigned.
Well, that's interesting. Benedict's good sense of humor.
And also very wise politically. So yeah, Father Kolvenbach resigned. He's still alive. He's the assistant librarian at the Jesuit University in Beirut. And Father Nicholas resigned, and he, it just was announced, he's going back to the Philippines. He'll be a spiritual director there in the Philippines.
So that's, I mean, I guess sort of like Pope Benedict, who went in kind of to retirement, you've got very much under the radar, Father Kolvenbach. You know.
Well, Father Kolvenbach, it's very beautiful. You know, Father Kolvenbach was probably one of the most powerful men in the church. You know, I mean, he was there for 15, 20 years something as Jesuit Superior General, wielded a lot of influence. And when he was finished and resigned at the election of Father Nicholas, which I remember Tim and I covered that morning when our computers went down, it was kind of crazy, they said to him, what are you going to do now at the press conference? And he said, whatever my superior tells me. So he just goes back into the ranks. That's the sort of genius of, I think, Jesuit governance. And Father Nicholas, I was over there a couple months ago, and I said, well, where would you like to go? And he said, well, wherever my provincial tells me. And I said, well, where would you like to go? He goes, well, he says, he has this very deep voice. If I go back to Japan, they would be very deferential and say, oh, Father General. But if I go back to the Philippines, I think they will treat me a little more relaxed. So I think
that's
why he's going back. Yeah, so he'll be like what we call a spiritual father, kind of a spiritual director and a counselor for the young men. I mean, you know, who could be better than former Father General?
So we mentioned that Father Sosa is from Venezuela. What kind of influence would his being brought up within the Jesuit order in Latin America have on how he approaches his role?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, he had apparently a lot of influence in, I don't want to say influence, but he was kind of doing a lot of back channels with Hugo Chavez. He was trying to, you know, the political situation in Venezuela is quite explosive. And he was using his own influence, apparently, when he was there to, you know, to help the poor, basically, under that regime. And, you know, I mean, anybody from Latin America will know how to deal with things politically. That's a lot more common than it is in the United States. I mean, we, you know, Jesuit Refugee Service, for example, will advocate, and the Jesuits in general will advocate for things, you know, in Congress, but it's more of a group. It's fairly rare that a provincial here will kind of insert himself into kind of, you know, the political situation in the country. But in Latin America, it's a lot more common, I think. So he knows his way around politics, which is good, you know. Mm-hmm.
And he's given a press conference already. Did you listen to that? And was there anything, any hints from what he said about what maybe priorities will be for him?
Well, you know, actually, it's interesting. His first homily and his first press conference were, I think, not surprisingly, very general. So he's probably, he's smart enough not to say, you know, I'm going to close this school down or we're going to start this initiative. So they were more general things. In his homily, he talked about Jesuits needing to be bold and their colleagues, of course, and, you know, reaching for not only the improbable, he said, but the impossible. He really focused a great deal on reconciliation, which is not surprising from someone coming from Venezuela. And I think it's something we can hear in the United States. Now, it's funny. I tweeted that out and someone wrote, well, isn't that what Jesus said? The answer is yes. We are sort of proclaiming the gospel and preaching the gospel. But he feels that reconciliation is a really important part of the Jesuit mission. But he's also smart enough not to say, you know, what he wants to do specifically. And he may not know. The general congregation actually writes a document called On the State of the Society, and then they tell him what they think, you know, that the general should be doing for the next, you know, 5-10 years.
Well, it's funny, as you were saying that, it sounds a lot like our own Father Matt Malone, you know, in
terms
of his approach to, you know, dreaming big, but also engaging in the work of reconciliation. So we'll hear more from Father Matt next week. Father Jim, you were tracking all the reactions to Father Sosa's election over the weekend. Doesn't sound like you had much of a weekend. For the average Catholic, like we, as you were saying, I guess technically Father Sosa is our boss. So
more than technically.
Certainly your boss.
Yeah, he can, I mean, theoretically he could shut us down.
He could shut this program down.
He will not, that's right, he could call in. That's right. He will not be doing that.
Okay.
Though.
But enter the average Catholic who you encounter on social media, did they care about this or is it, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. The general congregation made a explicit decision to make this more transparent and to try to share it with people on social media. So we had lots of videos coming out of Rome. We did a video ourselves, you know, at America Magazine. Lots of photos coming out from Rome. It was really different for me and for Jesuits and for other people who were interested in that sort of thing. So I posted a lot of things on my Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram. And someone wrote, which I thought was really charming, 2 months ago, I had no idea what a Jesuit Superior General is. Now I'm shaking with anticipation. it's kind of like a mini conclave. And I think part of the thing that people are interested in the Jesuits, you know, for their own reasons. And so they're interested in the head of the Jesuits. But I think people enjoyed the idea that this is, you know, something that they could participate in. There was there's a feature of it called the Mormoratio, where people sort of murmur and talk about, you know, candidates. People got a kick out of that. I think the word is just inherently funny. But yeah, people were, I mean, obviously not everybody in the United States is interested in the, you know, Jesuit General Congregation. But for Catholics, you know, in the know, I think there was a lot of interest.
Well, we'll be looking forward to more coverage of Father Sosa in the pages of America, but also on our website. We had a couple video pieces about what's going on at, as they call it, GC36 right now. So what's the next steps? I mean, they've elected a new general, but they've still got work to do.
They do. They have written something called the De Statu Societatis, on the state of the society. And now the general congregation has to sort of discuss these things, and they may or may not decide that they're going to put out documents sort of, you know, to the whole Society of Jesus. I hear from friends that it'll probably be another 2 weeks. And, you know, frankly, you know, the old saying is you get 200 Jesuits in a room, they're going to write something.
We've already had several videos coming out of it. So we've got 2 more weeks, and this is sort of technical issues of governance.
Yeah, governance. But also, you know, past congregations have GC32 in the late 1960s talked a lot about the poor. That's where you get the faith that does justice and the real push. So that those general congregations really had an impact on the Society of Jesus. There have been documents on collaboration with the laity, on women, women leadership in the church. So, you know, it depends on, remember, this is worldwide. It depends on what the delegates think are the most pressing things facing the society. So they could be written either for Jesuits, you know, in a sense like Jesuits, you need to do this, or Father General, you need to do this, or in general, this is what we as Jesuits believe. You know, we believe X, you know. So there are lots of different kinds of documents that could come from the GC.
And part of it, I guess, would be responding to the call of Pope Francis and where he's pushing the Jesuits, because he did address the Jesuits, was it 2 years ago?
That's right.
About and saying that you need to go to the frontiers. And so that's part of what they'll be considering.
That's right. And the Pope at some point meets all the delegates. Interestingly, the election had to be told to the Pope before it could be announced anywhere. And our friend Antonio Spadaro, who was the head of Civita Cattolica, actually, you know, they used to send messengers, so he just picked up his cell phone and called him.
After he took the selfie. Right?
That's, yes. And so, you know, they might have something, for example, Tim, as you were saying, on mercy. You know, they might say, you know, we're committing ourselves to mercy in a new way, reconciliation. So we'll see.
Yeah, looking back, what was the previous Superior General's legacy now that we've gotten
Father Nicolas wasn't in too long. And I think that the thing that most people look at, the Jesuits, in addition to kind of running the society well, he asked Jesuits, I think two things stand out for me, to be men of depth, so not dilettantes, which is kind of that's a temptation sometimes. You know, you should be grounded in your, not only your spirituality and your relationship with Jesus, but also your field. You know, I mean, men of depth, not going from one thing to another. And also, one of the things he said which really made an impact on me was that community, which is often seen, has always been seen in the Jesuits as supporting the ministry, that you go to the community and they kind of nourish you and you go out. Community is a ministry itself. And so to give to the community, not just take. So he was a lovely guy. I mean, he is a lovely guy. I met him twice, and very funny and very relaxed. And I think he just, you know, like a good Jesuit general, he just kept things running.
Well, we want to thank Father Jim Martin for stepping in to talk a little about JRS today, but also, of course, about our new boss, Father Arturo, Father General Arturo Sosa. Again, of course, I think everybody knows you can follow Father Jim Martin on Facebook and Twitter. You want to give out your social media handle there?
Sure. Facebook is Father James Martin S.J. Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat now are James Martin S.J. Okay. For Society of
Well,
Jesus.
Thank you very much. That is it for America This Week. Thank you for being with us. If you like what you've been hearing, you can join us at America. Our website is www.americamagazine.org. And you can follow us also on Facebook and Twitter. And to subscribe to America Magazine, please call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533. I'm Tim Reedy for Ashley McKinless. Thank you, and have a good day.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.